Okay, we go to some calls. We say good morning, good afternoon now, and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Corey, Mr. Johnson, and your panel. My question is in relation to the IT coordinators of schools. Now, I happen to be affiliated with a school that has a roll of 1,200 children, and there's one IT coordinator to attend to the various needs of an IT nature within that school. I'd like to know what is the ministry's plan of increasing the number of IT coordinators assigned to schools? That's one question.
Okay. That is something that was brought to our attention, not only the 1,200 students, but if there are 56 teachers as well who might need help. I'm aware that there are some schools that have been using the Give Back program where they have students from university who would have been assisting at the school to give that additional assistance. We are encouraging the principals because we know that there are some teachers who might be absent and sometimes they actually use the ITC or ITCs have been going beyond the call of duty. They have been working consistently even during the summer, during this time here now to get devices out. So we are aware that we have to look at see how we can give them additional assistance. So that is true. But that is something that has come to our attention and something that we are trying to address. So the helping the students and helping the teachers as well. If we have additional persons on site or available and putting the cry out there, this is a good thing for the Give Back program for persons to actually come in down to give that assistance. But that is a reality.
Thank you very much for responding. My second comment is to the Yes, I don't remember her name. I understand the need for parents to step up to the plate at a time like this and be more involved for those who were already involved and for those who weren't to get involved. But to say to parents to have a neighbor look in and make it look as though it's so easy, you have a lot of young parents who live in new developments who do not know their neighbors. They know probably the car number of the vehicle they drive, but they are not familiar with the persons to the extent that you're comfortable to ask these persons to have an eye on the child or children that you might have left at home. There are also parents who have multiple children who are minors who are breaking the law by leaving these minor children at home on their own without any adult supervision whatsoever. Now, while I understand that, yes, it is a COVID time, and we must try to find some sense of normalcy, education has to go on. We must be mindful of the myriad of things that can happen, the well-being, the welfare, the safety of the children must be paramount. But to speak as though it is something you can pull out of a hat and have happen easily, to me is unrealistic and speaks to not understanding the time in which we exist.
Okay, Corey, you want me to come in there?
Sure, for sure. Anybody can jump in at anything.
I'm sorry that the callers might miss where I am trying to, what direction I'm trying to go in. And I understand how our community has changed, how our whole environment has changed. And the thing is that we do not want to put our children at further risk at this point. But I'm saying that you as the parent, you have to come up with an alternative way of making it possible. As Corey alluded to, if you want to see the betterment of your children's education, there are things that would come to mind that you can always engage the teacher, the principal, anyone that that would assist in assisting you in helping your children. I do understand, and I believe that the entire panel do understand that we are facing challenges and every family situation is not the same. I'm not saying it flippantly either that persons, as I repeated myself, you know, just come in and have a sit down with the children. But there must be some party in your life as a parent that you can trust. There must be some person in your environment that you can, that is responsible, that can look in or to ask how your children are doing. This is not a standalone situation. We have to work together. The same way that we as a Parents Teachers Association, we work with the teachers, we want to work with our parents, and we want our parents to work with the teachers. The teachers are working extremely hard, and they are looking forward to seeing their children succeed. The teachers at heart are really looking forward to see that the children succeed and do well. Then we have to play our part. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying to follow me, follow the script, whatever I said, but I'm saying this is just an idea that you need to meet the Ministry of Education. You need to meet the school halfway. We have to work hand in glove. It is not easy, which we agree generally, but it is possible. We have, for our children's sake, for our children's sake, we have to make it possible. The thing is that it would be perfect to go back out to school face-to-face, because face-to-face, you know that you get the results that you're looking for. And it is really a case of, you know, children interacting in a learning environment. But I'm saying at this point of time, where we have the online and the online learning, let's see how best we can make it work.
I do not disagree that we should give it a try. I'm simply saying to make it sound as though it is easy, because I would suggest you have a listen to the repeat of the program tonight. You may not intend it, but that is exactly the way you're coming across. I am fortunate to be one of the parents who still has the assistance of the extended family on both ends, and a parent who will be at home with my child to supervise her when school resumes tomorrow. But for the persons who don't enjoy that privilege, I'm just saying, to speak the way you are making it sound as though it is something you just pull out of a hat. That's all I'm saying. So you need to be mindful of how you coach your words so that they come across as caring and not as though something is easy to do, when indeed and in fact it is extremely difficult. That's all I'm saying. Thank you for having me. I'll listen to the remainder of the program.
Right. During the discourse, we did see it going from possible to easy. We all acknowledge it isn't easy. Nothing about what we are attempting to do in all the aspects, from the quarantine to the entry protocol to testing to education to every aspect of life, have been disrupted by this COVID-19. And therefore, we are now trying to adapt. Ms. Jones, you wanted to say something?
Just to respond to what the caller said and to reinforce what Ms. Aline had said earlier about planning and preparation. And as you just said earlier, there's nothing about this that is easy. We recognize that there are challenges across the board, but no one's situation is unique. We're all in it together. As I said, you just have to try. I mean, plan and prepare, see who can help you. Reach out. There help comes in so many forms from so many different places. During the last school term, I had to leave my daughter at home. Yes, she's older, but I still had to leave her at home for weeks at a time. And my neighbor was able to call and check. I had to call and check, make sure that she was fine. She had everything that she needed. The challenge comes, of course, when it comes to younger children. But if older siblings, older relatives, neighbors, I think at this point, we realize that it is a community effort. I don't think that anybody at this stage should feel that they are in this alone or by themselves.
Okay, Corey, I just want to clarify also that it wasn't PS who was speaking there just now, but that's actually the Jones from the, sorry, Ms. Chandler from the NCPTA would have made that comment. The ministry is aware of the challenges. We heard the caller and we know that it is not easy. And I don't think that the rep from the NCPTA meant that it was easy. She was just sharing some ways that we can go about it. So moving forward, we will try to assist wherever possible. At the ministry, we have our school attendance officers and we have our social workers working with the school, the student support services, and we will continue to monitor, especially those at-risk students. We can do home visits. So we'll be working to lend assistance wherever we can. Mm-hmm. There's some secondary schools that have safety officers that can also come in to play a part there. So we are aware of the challenges and we're trying to work through it. It's not easy.
Corey, can I add to it too as well? Because from a teacher's perspective, I'm teaching what I call practical subjects. It is a challenge because in some cases, children, they do not have the necessary equipment. They do not have the necessary materials. I teach clothing in textiles. I teach food science. So most of my students, they don't have a sewing machine at home. So how now do I teach clothing and textiles? It cannot all be theory because then children are easily distracted. And if I'm just teaching all theory and no practical, then that becomes even more difficult. From the aspect of the food science aspect, we look at having the necessary ingredients. I remember in our first lockdown, we had a practical whereby we had to do three different fruits to prepare a fruit salad. We were looking at life skills. There were students of mine who were unable to complete that practical because they did not have three different fruits at home. As simple as it might sound to some, an apple, an orange, and a banana, they did not have. So as the caller said, I can agree. It can be a challenge sometimes, but as the other panelists suggested, we have to make the effort. We have to try at some point in time and make the effort.
Excellent point. Excellent. That's why, you know, is how we get all these things to contend. I was actually looking at page 9 of the guidelines, and it was actually saying that what we're looking at this as a macro problem, and what we can actually do is bring it down to the classroom level, whereas advice here where parents can advise the teacher of any challenges that they're having through the class WhatsApp group or whatever. And what we can do probably within a few weeks of assessing this, then the ministry, as one of the callers spoke about having the data, but the ministry can have some evidence-based data to actually be able to put other programs and mechanisms in place for all those who are definitely on the fringes or at risk. And the chief just spoke about the social workers, attendance officers, home visits. And these are the things that we need to hear about as a country, but also at the micro and household level. People who have these anxiety and these fears, they don't know, or it is reinforced to them that the country does have these mechanisms that we can use in order to address these very challenging problems. But it's just 2 minutes before we go to the news at 12:30. So I don't think we'll be able to take any calls at this time. I'll just read a couple WhatsApp until the producer gives me the signal. It says, imagine persons working in fast food restaurants, gas stations, supermarkets, central bank, Citadel. They aren't allowed to have cell phone on their persons. This may make it difficult to check in or call at unusual times. It may not be possible. So that is one of the concerns there. And just another thing to throw out there, because even in those situations, we can have those as special situations and put mechanisms in place. Remember that human beings made the rules. Rules weren't made for human beings. We made the rules to suit what we need. And that music tells us it's time to take the latest from the Starcom Network News. This is Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. Welcome back to Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. If you're now joining us, we are looking at the whole idea of the online school. some of the possible challenges and obviously some of the possible solutions. On the line with us as we go on till 1:15 this afternoon is Miss Betty Aline Headley, Permanent Secretary, Ministry of Education, Technological and Vocational Training. Mrs. Joy Addison, Chief Education Officer Acting. We have Miss Janice Lawrence Chandler. She is from the Barbados National PTA Council. She's the Secretary Treasurer and also a former PTA President at the Alexandra School. We have parent and teacher, Miss Nicole Jones, and parent and a teacher as well, Miss Astrid Aline. And of course, we have you at 434-1790 and on the WhatsApp at 2664862. I want to read a number of WhatsApp just to see what those on the public, they're thinking about the discussion as we come back in and start to look at the issues, brainstorming the issues and the possible solutions. This one says, the biggest issue I have with online schooling is when schools send out timetables for five-year-olds that are 4 to 5 classes daily, running from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., when parents still have to work from 8 to 4:30. There's no scenario which this makes sense. Then the school tells you, well, you can opt out. You don't have to do it. So my options are to have my child not attend school indefinitely or not be able to work properly so that I can also supervise my five-year-old in class. Everybody doesn't have the luxury of a readily available extended family. Schools cannot expect a normal class day to run during the pandemic. It's unreasonable. Officers cannot expect that parents who have to supervise classes can function in the same way they would outside of the pandemic. This next one says, hi and greetings from Canada. As an educator who have been doing virtual learning since the school year started, I want to offer a word of advice to teachers. Have a plan A, B, and C. Things can go off real and pretty quickly sometimes. Please let the parents know to be mindful of the camera and the mic. It's challenging, but it does work. And good luck. There's another one here which says, someone's coming in.
Corey, right. Can I cut in on point in time? Because like the first WhatsApp message would have read, I have a 6-year-old and his classes also run from 9 to 2. There's a half an hour gap in between the classes. And it can be a challenge. But what his school has done is that they have actually posted the work online as well in the Google Classroom. So even if a parent is absent or a child is missing a particular lesson, because there are 4 lessons within the day that he has to attend, and if they're missing a lesson, they can actually go into the classroom, the Google Classroom, and see the work that has been done. Yes, I know the difficulty will come because if it is a new topic that is being taught, it might be a little difficult for the child to understand. But that is one of the ways of a parent assisting a child if they are not present in the classroom.
I hear it got me wondering if my daughter gained sharp chin because I'm looking at her timetable here. She has like 2 or 3 classes the most a day, not 5 or 4 or anything like that. So I'm not sure. Different schools may be doing different things.
It's not why I would say shortchange. It's just that you have to be mindful of the time too, because for a little one to be sitting in front of a computer, It is definitely not good for a child. And their attention span without a break, it will not hold. Mm-hmm.
I think there was a WhatsApp there was actually looking at that. It was talking about the level of screen time. I was looking for, I'm not seeing it here, but it's something that's mentioned in terms of all this screen time. It says not the norm. And children having to go through that now is a concern for one of the persons who would have sent a WhatsApp earlier. There is a specific question here to the chief education officer. I was looking for. But as we do that, we could take a call and say, Brass Tacks, Sunday, good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Corey?
Yes, please.
I want to address you first as the advisor, probably to the Prime Minister. In terms of your moving around, in terms of the problems that being sought in a way as it relates to the online learning, you'll find that it affects more the persons who we call on what come up in challenge homes, broken homes and stuff. Is that your finding? Or you haven't
done it? To be quite honest with you, right? What I have found, in there are a few bright stars who thankfully for free education, they've been able to shine. But for the most part, a lot of them were not learning before COVID-19 and they ain't learning now at all. I told you some of them we put to sit down. These some I engage with directly. I put them to sit down to register halfway through a term because I realized they ain't going online. They are like 15 or 17 subjects and then they register for one. So there's those gaping gaps in the system. And that's why when the chief spoke about the social workers and the attendance officers and the home visits, I think that we need to put a little more focus on that and a more advanced system where that is concerned.
But let me say this before I get into myself. Even in situations where people are having the help, and that's the thing that really calls me to call people who saying that they are in this situation. I find the online learning is challenging, and I experience it from a personal perspective. In as much as I mandate to both my daughters that they were going back to university as opposed to going to do online classes, but hence we have a resurgence of it because I realize that the drop back with this online thing, right? The discipline and everything else. In as much as you are saying people responsible isn't there, right? So with this, right, a lot of people are going to fall by the wayside. A lot of people. But listening to the program from the coming tracking, what I've been hearing all the time is about these people who don't have extended family. So I want to take your program just a little off this, right? And I'm wondering how many of the parents that are listening now have their children listening to this program. And hence the reason, right? I believe too often we find people getting children and not prepared for children. And in another personal way, I have a goddaughter that I'm helping now who did well at A-level, and I had high hope for her. Till one day I found that she was pregnant. I never said anything until recently I asked her questions because I find it helping her a lot, right? And it would always help her. But I asked her, where's the child father? She said to me, Godfather, from the time I got pregnant, he disappeared. This is what, and I know a lot of people that happened with me. And this is why I said, listen, there ain't nothing that is guaranteed in life. But what I would say to you is that should you get pregnant again, make sure that you have the right environment to raise that child. Because they tell her sex is okay. But raising a child, as you see now, is a serious responsibility. And I hope that all the parents that are listening now, are, and especially their girl children. They have three, right? They are telling their girl children to, there's nothing wrong with sex. But you see this children's story? If you are not prepared for it, don't go there at all.
That's something outside of this. That's something right across the board with mostly social ills. But on this one in particular, that's not unique to this at all. Okay? I see a number of comments coming in here about our environment and the noise and the kites and different things. That's something we didn't hear for a while, but that's something I just want to raise because it's been raised here with us as well. I found the one that was directed to the chief, so I'll read it now before I lose it again. And it says, good day, Corey, and to the panel. As a parent of a student, oh, this isn't it, but anyhow, as a parent of a student about to set the 11 plus, I thought we were finished with 11 plus, but yeah. But as a parent of a student about to set this 11 plus exam, I am concerned that this distant learning format will disadvantage many children who do not have a stay-at-home parent to supervise them. I'm also concerned that 5 to 6 hours of mandatory computer time is unhealthy for young students, and it is unreasonable for the ministry to expect children to be on a computer such lengths of time as if it was school as normal. It should either be half day or 3 days per week of classes. This amount of screen exposure will be damaging as it is to adults who sit at desks all day. So I'd like to hear some response on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller, for that question. The recommendation that we had was for the nursery 2 hours screen time That does not mean that you cannot engage the students throughout the day on in different activities. And for the ones older, we said 3 hours screen time. And we have told the schools to have breaks in the sessions that they have. Some of them will have a 15, 10, 20 different periods of time that they'll have breaks so that you're not looking at the screen all the time. So because the teacher is engaging you, it isn't that you're necessarily, you might be set to do work. So you might have English, you might have grammar, you might have math at a particular point in time. And that 40 minute period has been allocated to Ms. Adamson. Ms. Adamson does not have to have you on the screen constantly for that 40 minutes. So there's no 6 hour screen time that we have, and schools have different schedules that they're using. And as I said earlier, we're not just taking a normal school day and changing it to come onto the computer. Some schools have time set where they are doing asynchronous, where you're actually engaging with the teacher, and then asynchronous, where the teacher is setting you tasks to do. So it is no extended period of time. We all know the dangers of having too much sitting down at a screen for a long extended period of time. So that is not something that we've advocated, and those steps are actually in the guidelines.
Okay.